Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, you know, today is a fantastic day. We are hot and heavy into the throes of June. I am actually enjoying the first day of my kids being home for summer break. And, of course, as many of you know, I work from home, and so it's sometimes a little bit of a challenge to get everything done that has to be done when it comes to my business, as well as everything done that has to be done when it comes to my family and my children being home. But it's a joy to have them. Of course, it's wonderful to have them here. There's a whole new kind of energy around the home and around the business during the summer when they're around. And, hey, the great benefit is they love to swim, and so I get to work by the pool. Lots of fun to do that during the summer months. I hope you guys are doing well. And, you know, here we are on Indie Business Podcast, and believe it or not, I've been hosting this podcast since 2005, and that seems like a really, really super long time. But for me, since it's been so much fun, it really just seems like it just started last week. And I'm just so excited to be able to deliver to you these great shows and to be able to share things with you and help you learn about how to run a business successfully, how to enjoy it, and how to learn from other people who have gone before us. And, of course, that's what we're all about here at the Indie Business Podcast, is learning from other people, sharing information, sharing ideas. And, of course, today is no different. My guest, and I'm so excited to introduce you to him, is Stephen D. Rappaport. He is the author of the new book, Listen First, Turning Social Media Conversations into Business Advantage. Let me tell you a little bit about Stephen Rappaport. He is the lead author of the Online Advertising Playbook, Proven Strategies and Tested Tactics from the Advertising Research Foundation. At the Advertising Research Foundation, Steve is Knowledge Solutions Director. He is also a sought-after speaker at industry conferences, and he holds workshops and strategy sessions with leading brands and lectures at major business schools. And we have him all to ourselves here for the next 30 minutes on Indie Business Podcast. Welcome, Stephen. Welcome, Stephen. Stephen, welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I know you're here because I can hear you. Stephen? I think Stephen can't hear us. I can hear Stephen typing. I hear noise in the background, but I don't hear Stephen's voice. Not sure what's happening. Well, this is a little bit of a surprise. But you know what? I'm going to soldier on here because this is live, and when you have situations like this, you soldier on. So here's the deal. I tell you what. If I'm not mistaken, you guys can hear me, and I can't hear you. But what we can do is open up the call line. So I'm going to do that right now. If you would like to give me a call, and if you have questions about how to grow your business, if you just need some inspiration, maybe you just want someone to talk to for a little while, if you want to learn about social media marketing, which is something that I help people do, I want you to feel free to call this number right now, and I believe I will be able to talk to you live right here on Indie Business Podcast. So you can dial area code 310-742-1892. That's area code 310-742-1892. Now, let me tell you, that is not a number that you can use regularly for my show. It's just a number for today because it looks like we're having a little bit of a challenge or some sort of connection issue where Stephen is concerned, and I don't want to stop the momentum here. Not sure what's happening. But, you know, these things happen sometimes. Let me tell you a little bit about what I learned from his book, okay? Now, you always hear people talk about how important it is to listen. And, of course, we all have ears. We've been listening all our lives, right? But as a small business owner, that word listen takes on an entirely different meaning when it comes to starting our businesses and then managing them once we get them started. One of the things that Steve's book does so well is really sort of organize the idea of listening and the importance of listening and how it can help your business into bite-sized chunks. And really the first chapter sort of breaks it down in total. And he talks about the steps to effective listening. He talks about organizing for listening and defining your objectives. Now, this is what you do before you start your business. And, of course, you do this throughout your business, but it's especially important on the front end for you to listen carefully before you start your business. I have helped so many entrepreneurs start businesses, and we start way before the launch date listening to people. So essentially, usually what happens is people come to me, they kind of know what kind of business they want to start, they know what their passion is, they know what they want to achieve generally, but they really don't know specifically, and they don't really understand how to listen to potential customers, how to listen to the marketplace before they start so that they can collect the kind of information they need to be successful, and then by the time they launch, they have hundreds, if not thousands, of followers on Twitter. They have an ongoing and robust Facebook fan page or business page where people are meeting each other and communicating around their passions and their mutually shared interests. So this is why it's so important to listen beforehand. And there are several ways to do this, and I'm going to share three with you right now. The first is to make sure you know who your target audience is. You may know what kinds of products you're trying to sell generally, but you need to know that specifically. You need to know exactly what kind of product it is that you want to sell. You need to know exactly who you want to sell it to. David Meerman Scott calls this ferreting out your buyer persona. That is the personality that is going to buy your product, the perfectly described customer for your product. So know what the product is, know who the buyer personas are. And once you know that, you have armed yourself with the information you need to then find those people on the internet, see where they hang out, see what they're talking about, discover what sorts of things move them, where do they invest their time on the internet, what sorts of events do they like to attend, when they tweet, what do they tweet about, when they talk on Facebook, what do they talk about? And if you can find out what turns them on, what flicks their switch, what makes them happy, what excites them, what gets their engines going, what gets them out of bed every morning, what are they passionate about? If you can find that out and connect how you can serve them with whatever those passionate things are in their lives, then what you've done is you've found some sweet spots where you can go and invest your time, where you can post things like surveys, where you can start discussions, where you can share interesting articles, where you can ask people what they think about different things that you're passionate about. And once you start doing that, you'll be able to really be listening really well. Put your headphones on and make sure you listen very carefully to what people's responses are. Listen very carefully to what they care about. Listen to what they're thinking about. What are they saying to you? How are they answering those surveys? What is important to them? And you'll be able to do that sort of listening at all times, putting it into the context of your business goals. What is it that you're trying to sell? What is it that you have that delivers value to people that they will exchange their hard-earned dollars for? So let me give you an example of this. And this is from Steven's book. And again, if you're just joining and you're wondering, why am I only hearing Donna Maria? Where's the guest? Well, I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm not sure what happened, but the result is that Stephen's not here, and I'm not sure why. It could be my fault, although I think I did everything right. But in any event, he's not here. So we are just talking about his book. If you have a question for this show only, you can dial 310-742-1892, and I will let you into the show, and we'll talk live, and maybe I'll be able to answer your question. But here's the thing. Stephen is the author of Listen First, Turning Social Media Conversations into Business Advantage. So what I'm going to do now is give you an example of what I just described in terms of that sort of listening. There is a company that manufactures products that are food-related products, and they are all tasting like bacon. These two guys, bacon-loving friends, as Stephen Rappaport describes it in his book, Justin Esch and David Lefkow, joked one day about how awesome it would be if there was a bacon-flavored seasoning, because, you know, some people just love the taste of bacon. And from this conversation, they hatched a brilliant business idea. Now, most of us have had, as Stephen says in his book, conversations like this before, right? You pull out a napkin at your dinner, you have a great idea with someone, you start writing, you write down a few of the ideas, and everybody laughs and says, oh, this was great, we could be rich, we could have a business, we could quit our jobs, yeah, yada, yada, yada. It's all great on a napkin. But, you know, you have to have the follow-up. And these guys had the follow-up, because what they did was they used social media to listen to what people said about bacon. What did people like about bacon? Did people like bacon? What did they not like about bacon? And what they were able to do was really listen to these conversations and conduct some social media research using the different networks that they belong to. And, you know, they found online, as they searched, thousands and thousands of people who used the phrase, I love bacon, on MySpace. Okay, of all places. This is just MySpace. So 35,000 people talking about how they love bacon at one social networking site, right? This could have been done on Twitter. It could have been done on LinkedIn. It could have been done on Facebook. But they did it on MySpace, maybe other places as well. But how astounding is that, that they put their ears to the ground, listened to what people were saying about bacon, and by capitalizing on these conversations, participating in them, and listening to them, they reached out to different people about the topic of bacon and had conversations with them about their interest in a bacon-flavored salt product. And their conversations ignited this interest and created conversations so much so that the people who they talked to actually placed advance orders for jars of bacon salt before they even launched the business. Okay, so I said earlier that we can, have thousands of followers, thousands of people in an audience before we launch a business. Well, this proves that you can also have sales in the bag. Now, let me tell you a little story about some company that I know that did this a long time ago before the advent of social media. You may know about this company. And this is really helpful because I want you to know that it's not just social media that makes this possible. It's listening in whatever form that makes this possible. There is a company called, I don't know what they're called now, but this was some time ago, called The Firm. And The Firm was an exercise studio in Charleston, South Carolina. And they created videos, and they had exercise instructors in their studio. And they decided to create videos, but they had no funding. They went to banks. They were very small. It was a woman, her husband, and I think one other person, a mutual friend of theirs who was a fitness instructor. The three of them started this business. They started this fitness studio called The Firm in Charleston, and they went to banks. They went to a lot of different banks because they needed some funding to take these exercise ideas that they had and put them into video so that they could sell them. Well, guess what? No banks were interested in funding. They didn't have a big name. Like, you know, back then exercise videos were really popular by movie stars and things of that nature. Well, these were people in Charleston, South Carolina. You know, most of the country hasn't even heard of Charleston, South Carolina, not to mention would pay any attention to exercise videos just by done by people who think they can exercise. So they weren't able to secure any funding. So what they did was they hatched a plan to connect with people who would be interested in their videos and create opportunities to engage with them. Again, this is before Facebook was even a blip. Mark Zuckerberg was probably in elementary school when this happened. Maybe not quite that young, but in any event, certainly not at college and certainly not thinking about business. So what they decided to do was to connect with a fitness magazine. May have been more than one, but one of the things they did was connect with a magazine that I subscribed to. And what they did was they went ahead and they placed ads in the front inside cover of these fitness magazines. This one particular one that I read, it's out of print now, actually. And they mentioned their studio and how successful it was and how their exercise philosophy had helped so many people be fit. And they took advance orders for this video. And they had pictures of the video being shot because they had already started shooting. I guess they needed help to market. They needed help to pay the editors and some of the videographers. And so what they did was they had pictures of the video itself, and it looked really good, and the fitness instructors looked really fit, and it looked like a lot of fun. So I went ahead and ordered it. I had no idea who these people were. Well, lo and behold, in hindsight, they finally wrote a book about their experience, and I wish I could find it. It's around here somewhere, but if you go on Amazon, you may find a book about the firm Exercise Studio. And they wrote a book about it, and this is where I learned all this information. What they ended up doing was pre-selling enough of those videos to people like me that they actually didn't need a bank loan. And by the time they were ready to sell the videos, everything was paid for. They were debt-free. And within a certain amount of money, time of raising the money they needed, they were actually able to ship these videos out. And I became a regular user of these videos, just loving them. And so there's a story right there, pre-social media. So it's, you don't have to have social media in its present form to do these sorts of things successfully, but you do have to have really good ears, and you have to listen intentionally. But I love sharing that story because it shows the importance of listening. It doesn't show the importance of MySpace or Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. What it shows is the importance of listening. So back to these guys at Bacon Salt. The company succeeded right out of the gate, as Stephen Rappaport says in his book, Listen First. Just starting in 2007, they sold out of supplies during their first week in business. In 2008, profits reached $1 million, and sales today exceed 650,000 orders. And how amazing is that, that these people were able to do that? So now they have Baconaise. They have all kinds of bacon-flavored products, bacon-flavored mayonnaise, bacon-flavored salt. I think they even have requests for, like, bacon-flavored ice cream. Bacon is kind of hot these days. I'm not sure how it became hot. It's not new at all. We all know that. I'm from North Carolina. Lots of bacon down here. But I'm not from North Carolina, but I live here. And so how interesting is that? But what a great idea. So if you're listening today and you're wondering, okay, well, that may have worked really good for the bacon people, but how can I use it? Well, how you can use it is wherever you are in your business, you can start talking with people without selling your products. If you're a mineral makeup manufacturer, for example, and you're just starting your business, well, what do people who buy mineral makeup care about? They care about whether it makes their skin feel oily or dry. They care about whether or not it looks good on them, whether it matches their color. If they have a unique color, or maybe they're a dark-skinned woman, they care about whether it's going to make her face look like a pancake, okay, because there's not a lot of mineral makeup out there for women of color. There may be a little bit more now than there used to be, but there's certain people that, you know, really need something special because of their skin tone. They may care about how it makes their lips feel, if it's a lip gloss or a lipstick that has mineral makeup in it. They're going to care about color and accessorizing. They're going to care about safety. You know, is it safe to use this mineral makeup eyeshadow on my eyelids? They're going to care about connecting with other women who enjoy wearing makeup and looking their best and feeling their best. If they are getting married within the next several months, guess what? They're going to care about having mineral makeup for a bride, for a bridal party. What mineral makeup looks good with my white dress and my blue eyes, or my white dress and my gray eyes, or my hazel eyes? All these sorts of things are important. So can you engage in conversations with people who are talking about mineral makeup? You can ask them, what are you looking for? What do you need that's not on the market? What do you think needs to be out there that's not there? And in using that information, you can participate in those conversations, and you can direct your design of your products to respond specifically to women who are asking questions, who have certain pain points when it comes to the mineral makeup that's available out there today. It could be something as simple as the price. It could be something as simple as there's not enough variety. Maybe there's too much variety and you want to really, really hone in on a specific niche and provide mineral makeup that deals specifically maybe with women in a certain age bracket. Maybe you want to deal with very young women who are just trying to figure this whole makeup thing out and, you know, could be, you know, avoid the clown look, you know, because when young girls wear makeup, sometimes it's a little bit, need a little more direction, shall we say. And so maybe you can provide that if you want the younger women to be your market. Men, there's a whole new market out there. I don't know how new it is, but certainly it's I would consider rather untapped. Men who might want to use mineral makeup to hide blemishes on their faces or to deal with under-eye circles. You know, men can look really tired too. And, you know, if you have to be up for a speaking engagement or you have to be up for a business meeting or a job interview, the last thing you want is, you know, dark circles under your eyes looking all miserable and tired. So One way to handle that, how about some mineral makeup for men? I think that would be an amazing idea. How about mineral makeup for people's hands? You know, as people's hands age, there's age spots. What about something specific for that? I do believe there is a company that has mineral makeup coverage specifically for toes, I believe, for ankles and toes. Pretty amazing stuff. It would be different formulation from what you might put on your face. Maybe a little heavier because it's your feet. You may not want that on your face, but if it's your feet, you have problems with your feet, maybe you have different spots on your feet or whatever. I do believe I've seen recently, I can't remember the name of it, but I do believe there's a company out there that does that. So again, the only way that person would have been able to do that is to find out that women feel bad about their feet and they want them to look pretty in the summertime in their sandals. And, you know, sometimes you can have the best manicure, but if your skin doesn't look that great, you might need to cover some things up down there. And so the beauty of this is that by listening, you can hear what people's concerns are, and you can respond to them with your product. And that really is sort of step two after you listen. You have to evaluate what you've heard and then decide on the solution that you want to offer. So you'll be listening to people for quite some time, gathering this information, categorizing it in ways that you can actually use it, and then create some solutions for people. Create some products that people can use to actually deal with whatever the problem is that they're having. You can try these things out, again, before you even invest much in terms of supplies, by just asking questions on Facebook. If you get enough people, you know, who are interested in mineral makeup, and it doesn't have to be at your own Facebook page. Now, obviously, you want to be really careful about going to potential competitors' Facebook pages and posting this kind of information, but certainly if there are friends that you have businesses that are not competing or even that are, if they want to help you out, hey, you know, it's all about helping each other up, right? The rising tide lifts all ships. That's my philosophy anyway. And to go ask that person, you know, can I ask this question on your page? Would you help me take this poll? I'll share the answers with you. So you can both use that data. It's your own little market research. You know, it used to be you'd have to find people in shopping malls and do all this marketing research. It costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, you can do it all with just the investment of your time to get this kind of information to get your company going. And also, if you already have a company, it's a great way to launch a new product, asking questions about what you'd like us to see us do next. What product do you need? What need haven't we met? How can we help you more? What are you looking for? Maybe you can have a contest where people can name the product or create the label or create the logo for you. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can use this sort of crowdsourcing technique to take the information that you have listened to, take the information you have collected, and turn it into solutions for people. And then also you want to be able to finally, as you start, you want to be able to give people feedback. Once you've collected information, you've taken surveys, you've asked people questions, you know, it's great if, you know, it's going to take you several months to actually release the first product maybe, but in the meantime, let people know that you appreciate their participation. Use your blog, and you so need a blog if you don't have a blog. How many times have I said that? Use your blog to share, you know, I posted this survey on Facebook, 50 people answered. Here's, you know, a little bit of the information. You may not want to share it all because that's your market research. You want to keep some of it. You want to acknowledge some of the people who participated. Acknowledge some of your Facebook friends who shared your poll on other people's pages so you could collect more information. Link to their websites or their Facebook pages or their Twitters or wherever it is they want you to link. Link to their blogs and acknowledge them publicly. You know, Donna helped me do this, and, you know, you can find out more about her at her blog. You know, things of that nature, because what you find is that as you acknowledge publicly the valuable time that other people have taken to help you, they will acknowledge you as well. And so there's a lot of interdependence here when it comes to this kind of listening, particularly in the small business arena, where we really do need to use each other. We really do need to collaborate and connect together in order to succeed. And so I hope that these examples and these ideas, which are inspired in part by this great book by Stephen Rappaport, have really helped you to think about listening in a whole new way, right? It's not just the kind of listening you've always done so you could listen and take a test and repeat the stuff back and get an A. It's really about listening and then incorporating the information that you have listened to in a tangible, organized way so that you can then use that information to create products and services that will help other people add value to their lives and for which they will exchange their hard-earned money to have access to. And that's really what it's all about when it comes to business. It's about, as my brother and I sort of in a brainstorming session one day came up with, you know, the business that you have is about this question: how can I help you while I make a fair profit? That's really what it boils down to, because in business you have to make a profit. It should be fair. It should not be gouging. But if you're offering something of value, you should be paid for it. And you should also be helping people, whether it's making their toes look nice or helping them start a business or helping them launch a blog or helping them create a logo. If you're a website designer, helping them to learn how to relax. If you use aromatherapy products in your in the cosmetics and things that you create, all sorts of ways that it can be done in your particular niche. But I strongly encourage you to think about listening along these lines. Now, I also want you to head over to check out Stephen's book. You can get it on Amazon. Again, it's called Listen First: Turning Social Media Conversations into Business Advantage. The author's name is Stephen D. Rappaport, R-A-P-P-A-P-O-R-T, and that's Stephen with a P-H, S-T-E-P-H-E-N. You can head on to the Internet, to your favorite search engine. You can find him really easily there and get some more information about the great examples that he has in this book. The bacon salt guys were just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. And I chose them to share with you because they started out anyway as a very, very small business. There are some large businesses mentioned in here that have some great examples, but there are also some other small businesses. There's companies that that deal small in food, and there's, I think, a knitting company maybe that sells yarn. I can't remember exactly what it is, but they have a knitting website. And so there are some niches in here that are discussed, some ideas that you can use to take your business to the next level. Now, in case you don't know, I want to conclude by letting you know about the Small Business Roll Call. It's called Small Biz Roll Call. It's every Monday at 11 o'clock at my Facebook page, which, if you don't know, is facebook.com/indiebusinessfans. 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern, we gather. I have a special guest. It's live on video. You can share your news. We tweet. We encourage each other. We have words of wisdom and uplift to get our weeks off to a fantastic start. That's every Monday at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern. So we try and get everybody on the West Coast and East Coast together. It's not too early. It's not too late. And we all gather for a wonderful 15 minutes. It's only 15 minutes of uplift and encouragement. So I hope to see you there. And as always, I will be here next week for another edition of It is another edition of Indie Business Podcast. Not having my guest here kind of throws me off a little bit. But I will be here next week, and I look forward to having you as well. Have a great week. See you next week. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.